Band of Horses auf Flux FM mit Casual Party. Die Band of Horses spielt heute Abend im Huxleys und bereits jetzt steht der Erfinder und Kopf des Ganzen bei mir im Studio. Wir sprechen über die immer noch aktuelle Platte Why Are You Okay? Wir sprechen über das Touren als Familienvater. Wir sprechen vielleicht auch über die Wichtigkeit des Dilettantismus und die Gefahr der Virtuosität. Wir reden über Rick Rubin und Jason Lysel und vieles, vieles mehr. Ich sag erstmal hello and welcome, Ben Bridwell.
Hello, great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Great to have you. Thank How are you, doing today?
Doing great. It's a lovely day outside, yeah. So that helps a lot.
That's true. Yeah. Where are you coming from, actually?
We were in,
The most complicated question.
Oh, my Lord. We were in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we had a day off yesterday, so we arrived in Berlin around 3 and got to have a nice evening.
Nice.
And now we're nice and rested up and ready to party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a high-energy show tonight.
One would hope.
You've slept well.
Yes.
You've had a day off in between.
Yes. I didn't want to be hungover today for my interviews or the show, so I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say in the States.
That's a nice way to describe it. That's really nice. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
That's right.
I have to remember that. Expression. Congratulations once again on Why Are You Okay? I mean, the LP has been out for a long while now.
Yeah.
When one's thinking in terms of pop music, it's been a while. But congratulations once again. It's a great album, and it's been made with pretty great people, I think, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of good help in there. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. You've worked with Jason Lytle, who's a super nice musician and a genius on his own.
Indeed.
And you worked with Rick Rubin, so there's two geniuses at work.
Indeed. And 3 with me.
Yeah. And then how did you avoid the too many cooks spoil the broth, you know?
Because
I think there's 3 people with a mind and with ideas for that music. How did you...
Yeah, there's at least three of us with very decisive leanings, right? So, luckily, Rick's role, at least with us, he would just kind of pop in here and there, listen to things, offer suggestions, but never as a be-all, end-all kind of opinion. Jason, if anyone has... He's so particular that you have to, like, pull him away from the console and tell him to take a break sometimes, because he'll sit there with headphones on, not even letting us hear what he's working on sometimes, you know? So he's a bit dicey like that, but I guess because maybe I can be a bit meek. I let him steer the ship.
Yeah.
And we trusted him. So this was as much his baby as it is ours.
Yeah, that's super interesting though, because I mean, another thing that I was asking myself, and I bet that you've been asked that for a few times already, is how does one not get intimidated, especially as a self-taught musician?
Yeah.
You know, you've taught all the shit yourself, and now that there's a top-notch musician like Jason, and maybe the best or the most well-known producer of the century.
The guru,
The guru of production.
Yeah.
The guy who makes young kids want to go into the production field.
Yes.
I mean... And how did you not get intimidated? How did Jason not get intimidated? Because I can feel like Rick Rubin coming in there. I mean, that's his modus operandi now, right? He just comes down like, oh, I like that.
Not so much there. Yeah, a little bit more there.
I would love his job, maybe.
Oh,
as well.
God, me
but
too.
I mean, to be not intimidated by that as a band, be like, oh, Rick doesn't seem to hate it, so let's keep on working. That's one thing. But Jason.
Yeah, Jason, that was tough. And there were times where we'd butt heads here and there, but... I put my trust in him, and I don't just act like a baby if it's not exactly what I heard before. You know, you sometimes have to reset your expectations, especially when you've had some songs for a while and you know what they sound like in your head, but once they come to fruition, you know, there can be some expectations that are dashed. I think there has to be a give and a take on all sides. And if you're super rigid and don't allow anyone else's opinions or taste to get in there, then you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
So luckily I think they know that rule and allowed us to also wield our powers.
Cool. So that's a valuable lesson though, I think, for musicians out there, because I think there are many, many musicians out there who don't want to lose the first idea of a song that they had in their head when they composed it for the first time, and they're kind of like hard to work with, I think.
Yeah, but there's no hard and fast rule there either.
That's
like
true.
Maybe they're right.
Yeah.
It's as long as at the end of the day, you both feel like you accomplished, you got the best out of it. That's all that matters. But some people, I think, are very, very steadfast in their, this is how it sounds to me. And if you try to break that, then you're fired. You know, yeah. I'm just not like that, I guess. I'm a bit of a coward.
For not firing Rick Rubin.
Exactly.
That's pretty cowardly of you.
Indeed.
You should have fired the guy. In an interview, or in more than one interview, you said that you're trying kind of hard to not become a virtuoso of the guitar. You're a self-taught guitar player.
Yeah.
And you're not getting better at it.
No.
And you seem to be happy with it. And I'm really happy about that, because it means that you're still working on your own kind of licks.
Yeah.
And that's something that I despise when I'm looking at some jazz sessions, because they all know what's going to happen.
Yes.
It sounds as if it was like jammed.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, let's do a 1-5 from this and that. And then they all know what's going to happen.
I have no tricks in my bag.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it's new every day.
Is that the reason for you to like... to not practice guitar every day or something like that?
I hate it, for one. No, I tend to write, I think, my best songs in alternate tunings that I've made up that make no sense to anyone else. You know, even the guys that sound check our guitars, if you come to Huxley's tonight, you'll notice they can't play some of these guitars, even to do a line check, because they just make no sense.
Sure.
But I've found a weird way of playing them and putting my hands in strange configurations that... it's always fresh and new to me.
Yeah.
There is no path laid out to follow.
Yeah.
So it does keep it fresh. And I'm just not one to sit there and learn scales and things like that. I just don't care, honestly. I love music as a listener and as a fan, but I don't want to put so much science into it that I kind of lose the heat from it.
Yeah, it's so interesting that if you talk to a professionally trained musician who knows everything about the theory of music, they'd be like, yeah, sometimes I envy those people who do everything from the guts. And
right.
Then you ask the guy who's doing everything from the guts, and they're like, sometimes I would love to know a little more about music theory.
It would be nice, you know, when you're on like some, you know, music talk show, and, you know, they go in the round and everyone's supposed to jam three chords. I'm like, I don't even know what these chords are. I have no idea. I'll ask the bass player someone to show me on the fretboard where to put my hand.
But I love the fact that you put your hand on the fretboard and it sounds shitty.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to change the way you put your hand on the fretboard. You can change the tuning of the guitar.
And that's what I did. I put my fingers where they were comfortable and I detuned everything, and that's now it works great.
No, it's and it's not, I mean, respect for you to do that like this, but you were not the first one to do it like that.
No.
I mean,
oh, God,
Sonic
no.
Youth and all those bands, they started like that. And
absolutely.
That's the reason why Sonic Youth is still so fresh. When you listen to some of their mid-90s songs or late 80s songs, you still think, wow, it sounds so temporary. You know, it sounds as if it would just have been released, and it sounds so 2017-ish, kind
exactly,
of.
Exactly, yeah. And you find a lot of great little mistakes in those kind of tunings that create discord, and the dysfunction ends up being the function. You know?
So if you're learning guitar, stop right now.
Absolutely. Unless you don't want to. You can do whatever you want. No rules.
Now let's listen to another song of yours. This is recorded with Jay Maskus, the incredible guitar god, Jay Maskus, who's also a decent singer.
Yes, he is indeed.
Here on the Band of Horses with In a Drawer, Jay Maskus. I'm Mike. In a Drawer, the Band of Horses und Jay Maskus. Zusammen, das hat der Band gefallen, auch weil Jay Maskus im Prinzip sowas wie der Anfang der Band of Horses war, denn kennengelernt haben sich der Sänger Ben und der Schlagzeuger Creighton auf einer Party, wo Dinosaur Jr. Musik lief. I just told them the story that you and Creighton, you met at a party, or you were at a party, not knowing each other, and then a Dinosaur Jr. song came up, and you looked at each other, and you were like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I think at the same time, we're like, yes.
Yes.
It's like, okay, brother. And we've been stuck together ever since. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So it's like coming full circle.
Full circle indeed, yes, sir.
To have Jay Maskus in the band for that one song. It's
absolutely
a beautiful song.
Yeah, and Jason as well. Jason Lytle from Granddaddy, who worked on the record. Creighton and I became huge Granddaddy fans, and to have his participation was an honor.
Yeah.
And to have Dave Fridman mix the record.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Dave,
true.
Dave Fridman, who some will know from Mercury Rev or from producing the Flamin' Lips very much, or MGMT and Spoon. That was a huge honor as well, because it's like we really did circle back to our childhood.
Yeah, and you only got the top-notch people
to work on your record. It worked out pretty good, yeah.
I imagine like this, there was one engineer who was like, oh, I don't have a name yet, but maybe I can engineer like the not so important stuff. And he'd be like, no, you don't have a name. Get out of here.
Exactly.
You're
exactly.
fired. Is your name Rubino Friedman? No. So you leave now.
He would be in good company with us who also don't quite have our name yet.
No, but it's really incredible.
Yeah, it's
all those people working on those.
Yeah, and those girls that sing
songs.
The background vocals on Drawer that we were just listening to. I was in a band with them 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the first band I was ever in. And so these two female musicians are singing the backgrounds. It was also a way to go back to the seed of even starting to be a musician.
Yeah. Now you're a father of four daughters.
Yeah.
And you obviously have a wife, so it's five women around you when you're at home.
Sometimes a nanny as well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But I see a bright future for something like a band thing happening there,
oh,
right?
Oh, man, yeah. Or at least
are they
like,
into music already, your daughters?
Yes, they are. Yeah, we have...
you look sad right now.
Well, no, it's one of those things because I don't ever want to put pressure on them to get into music because I'm afraid they'd just go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So I honestly leave like ukuleles and small guitars around the house that are in open tunings. So even the babies will walk by and just accidentally bump into it, and it sounds like music, you know. So they can at least get rhythm down, and it doesn't seem like this impossible, daunting task to learn music because their dad didn't, and I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm secretly trying to to push it into their lives without being we're going to violin lessons or something, you know.
Yeah. Okay, but I mean. There's two ways to revolt against you now.
Yeah.
One would be they'd become lawyers or something. They'd be like, music is nothing for
Join
me, Daddy.
Join the military or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the other thing that would be that they become like really virtuoso at their instruments.
Yeah.
Like,
just,
I want to do the whole music theory thing, Daddy.
Oh, God.
I don't want to do it as amateurish as you do.
You're right. I never even considered that. That will be pretty embarrassing.
That would be even worse than,
you're right.
than having a lawyer in the
Can't
family.
Jam with my kids.
No, Daddy. It's supposed to be a C major 7 chord.
No
right
idea
now.
What that means.
Yeah. Oh man, that's crazy. That's so cool. You're fine for tonight. Everything's well prepared.
It would seem so. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about the situation in the U.S. right now, but I mean, you're not the one responsible for it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
all this crazy shit that's happened at Charlottesville right now. And
we're all left holding the bag. We didn't feel like we were responsible for it, but we're all left, just as confused as anybody else, So if the election was even legit, it seems that we can't win again.
Yeah.
Much like the George Bush years. It feels like all the cards are stacked against us, and all we can do is try to fight back and mobilize people for the next election and try to make this stop.
Yeah. And I think that might be the one advantage of all this, is that musicians are thinking about their political views once more.
Indeed.
And they're putting them out there. I was talking to the Dead Press like 2 years ago, and they were like, we've always thought of ourselves as artivists, like combining the activist and the artist. And I think that's happening to more and more artists right now. And maybe that's a good thing. And maybe it's a good thing that there are more and more bands who are trying to put a little protest in their songs now.
Yes.
Or
working any way they can, And maybe we did become a bit complacent with the Obama years. It seemed like America was going towards a more socialist view, or like taking care of one another. And then the drop of a hat, it just washes away. And you can't believe that we're still so dumb.
Yeah. And I think that musicians, I mean, the whole can a song change the world discussion, we don't have to start that. But I really think that musicians have an impact on young people.
Indeed.
And musicians can influence young people, and musicians can help young people to think with their own heads and not just like consume fake news and think that they're
well
real.
Well put.
Yeah,
I agree.
What I'm saying? So I want to thank you for doing the music, for doing the artivist part, and for stopping by.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
I'm not leaving now. I'm going to stay here.
Oh, damn, another musician who won't
No gig
leave.
Tonight. Calling the gig off.
030-2000-9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wenn man an Tickets möchte fürs Huxleys heute Abend und die großartige Band of Horses, 030-2000-9000, jetzt anrufen. Mein Kollege Ron schreibt euch auf Liste. Und wir hören zum Vorbereiten hier nochmal ihren Song Whatever, Wherever Band of Horses. Ben, thanks a lot again. Bye-bye.
No, thank you. Bye-bye.